It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, 1, 2, 1, 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, we in this bitch, man.
Word up.
Oh, shit, man. What's good? How you doing?
Man, it's all good, man. Feeling good, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Feeling joyous and shit.
I could dig it. Put some joy on the calendar.
You know what I'm saying? It was on the calendar.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Had a couple of joyous occasions on the calendar this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just got back from New Orleans.
Right. Yeah. How was that?
Oh, shit was crazy, man. It's Mardi Gras, you know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which you always hear about Mardi Gras.
Right.
But I never really kind of knew.
I don't know anything. I know about it.
Right.
In the abstract. First of all, what does Mardi Gras even mean?
Listen, man, I don't know.
Oh, I thought you was coming back with
the knowledge.
I
don't have knowledge. I just only have experience.
Dang, I thought you just came back with the Mardi Gras pilgrimage talk.
I wish I had the knowledge, but it seemed like it's very deep. You know what I'm saying? It's not no real. I probably could just explain some quick little shit, but without the on-the-ground experience of what it is, it's a lot different. I guess it probably compares to Carnival and on these islands and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, Trinidad is having their carnival right now.
Yeah. I saw Haiti, they canceled Carnival because of some shit going on. I think some unrest. Yeah,
coronavirus?
Nah, I think it's deeper than that. But let me not get quoting shit that I didn't all the way read. I get information out.
Yeah.
Fucking, that's spreading ignorance.
So, yeah, Mardi Gras is something aligned with Carnival, I guess.
Okay.
But, you know, it has all kind of, you know, racial overtones and, you know what I'm saying, slave connections and, you know what I mean, it's a lot. It's very American in its history and such.
But did it start in America or is it some
I don't know if Mardi Gras started somewhere else, but they participate in motherfucking New Orleans. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about...
Which is his own country anyway.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
New Orleans is his own world. They got their own thing, man. But to be in the middle, I was actually kind of peripherally in it when it was All-Star out there, but you know what I'm saying, you was doing other things other than the Mardi Gras stuff, and it still was kind of like the beginning of Mardi Gras, which they take that shit very seriously as far as taking that month off from regular scheduled activities, you know what I'm saying? It's like a month of doing this parties and all this kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, you know what I'm saying, I guess it was heading into the height of the shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I went for Zulu Ball to document the Zulu Ball. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Chris Latimer and Jeff Williams who campaigned for me to be there to cover it and document it. And shout out to New Orleans director, producer E. Buckles for, you know what I'm saying, lending me his crew to help me out with it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? We had a good time in that. But Zulu Ball shit, man.
Yeah, what is the Zulu Ball?
Well, the Zulu social club is the first black social club. I guess these social clubs started as, you know, white things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Zulu was the first black one. And, you know, they added the black flair to Mardi Gras and doing those types of things. I'm not going to speak too much because I'm just telling you some old side shit I learned over the course of 24 hours.
I'm about to get to it.
So you gotta set up what it is before you just start to talk about what you see because... Okay. You
think the Zulu Ball purists are listening, combing through the podcast, waiting for misinformation?
Being there and experiencing it, I want to get it right out of respect for what it is. You know what I'm saying? So... They've been having this ball this is the 111th year of this ball, and which that's hard to keep anything going for 100 and some years. You know what I mean? It's some schools and institutions that ain't been around 111 years, you know? So for them to have this social club that is, you know, volunteer, self-funded, you know what I mean? To keep it around for 100 years, it's ingrained in the social texture and makeup of the city. And when Mardi Gras come, Zulus do this big-ass ball. And you know, I've been to a few balls and, you know, coronations and things of that nature. You know what I'm saying? It's usually, you know, 1,000 people, 500 people, you know, a room with some tables and shit.
Right.
It's 20,000 people, man.
Where is it at?
In the convention center.
Oh, it's in the center.
In the convention center. Like, not one room. Like, a whole... This shit longer than a football field.
Oh, so like a ball, like an evening gown type of shit?
Fucking tuxedos.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's a real ball.
I was thinking that I was getting it confused. Not confused, but my thought was it was some outdoor Mardi Gras shit. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, so this is like an event. This is the event. The big dance.
This is the big black dance.
Yeah. Man. Who was DJing?
SNS.
Ooh, all right.
The Jubilee came out at the end.
Okay.
Then they had, you know, saying local cat DJ Polo. So yeah, it was
okay.
Yeah, then you know he had Dougie Fresh doing what Dougie Fresh do.
Okay.
He brought out Juvenile, which, you know what I'm saying, before I get to the rest of the breakdown, you know what I'm saying? I felt like I was in the middle of a historical moment of shooting Juvie on stage in New Orleans.
Right.
Doing back that ass up.
Right.
In New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
At the motherland.
In the motherland. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it felt like a moment.
That is on brand like a motherfucker, yeah.
Because last time I was in New Orleans for Essence Fest, I was fucking with everybody that was with the crew. Like, shit, we in New Orleans. They finna play that, you know what I'm saying? Cash Money, you know what I'm saying? Taking over for the 99 to the 2000.
Right.
And the whole fucking weekend we was there, no DJ played it.
Ugh.
And so it was like a running joke.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh shit. Cause you know when you get to that part of the party where this shit dropped right about now.
And they would not.
It wouldn't go.
I wonder if it's a thing where it's not appreciated as much as it is at home.
But it wasn't like these wasn't like local DJs. These was just like, you know, national DJs.
That's a go-to New Orleans record for especially somebody that's not from there.
Exactly. Like that's the first thing you should drop.
Right.
So it was a running joke that it never came on, and I kept on saying it every time. So for the next time for me to be in New Orleans and to be on stage shooting Juvie, and that shit dropped, that shit was a moment.
Talk to me. What was the response out there?
I mean, you know what the response was.
So they backed it up. They backed it up. Because the Zulu Ball created such a context, 110 years or 100 years. I'm figuring it was some old... You know, esteemed black intelligentsia, and then they got into
see,
it.
See, here go the thing about it. That's why I wanted to finish talking about what the ball is.
Oh, all right, go ahead, talk about it.
The coronation part is where they, you know, where they anoint the new king and queen of Zulu for the year. You know what I'm saying? They come, everybody come with the big feathers and the, you know what I'm saying, the costumes and shit. Like,
yeah,
the big New Orleans costumes. And so you got that whole thing, and it's very formal and very upright and very black intelligentsia and society and who's who and all of the, and it's of all, the beauty of it is it's all generations, you know what I'm saying? You got the little girls who are in it, then you got the teenagers who are kind of like being escorted out, like, you know, like a cotillion type of thing.
Right.
Then, you know what I'm saying, so you got like the junior hold the junior court.
Right.
Then you bring out the queen. You know what I'm saying? Then you bring
of the ball.
Of the ball. Then you bring out the king.
Okay.
And then, you know, I guess they hold their post for the year, and then next year they'll give it to somebody else. And then you could see, like, you know, you have these different sections where I guess, you know, different people have their own sections.
Yeah.
And then you could see the king who's getting coordinated, he had a big section right in the middle.
Right.
Then last year's king has his section. And then you see all these different kings from the different years.
Oh, that's dope.
At their own sections or tables and shit. And it's like, damn, this shit really been going on.
Right.
And you know, like one of the guys who was shooting with me, he was like, you know, his dad was, you know, the Zulu king from such and such year. And you know what I mean? It's it's a big thing in the community. And it's not just the society people or the people of means. It's everybody. It's everybody in here. You know what I'm saying? And then, again, you got 20,000 people in this motherfucker.
That's wild.
And it's BYOB.
That's beautiful.
Bring your own food.
Oh,
Oh, wow. And drink. So you know what that means.
That shit is popping.
That means everybody table got they whole spread and layout. Some people got the convention center people's.
Sound like a homecoming.
It is. It's very much a homecoming in tuxedos.
That's hard.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I like that.
So you got all these people, they doing it how we do, you know what I'm saying? Right. At every level. You might have some people got their whole layout catered by the famous restaurant, or some people shit catered by the convention center. Some people brought their own.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, a couple white tables in there who had basically a full bar at their shit. You know what I mean? So then you have a couple bars that were selling shit, but you got all these people in here having a ball. You know what I'm saying? And like really having a ball.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Literally and figuratively. Right. You know what I'm saying? And
so let me go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go answer. Ask your question.
Throughout all of this, is it being is there like a through line? Is there like a host that's saying certain shit?
Yeah. Okay. So the first part, you had a coronation session.
Right.
And you anoint the king. Then the second line come through that bitch.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's what get the party going. Like second line come through. And this is, you know what I'm saying? So everybody rush the second line. And, you know, this is my first second line.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of that bitch shooting like, oh, shit, I'm in the second line. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then so by the time the second line come through, everybody already on the dance floor, DJ kick in. You got the host. I can't think of her name. But she's local radio, you know what I'm saying, hero, legend.
Right.
And something Angie, something Angela. Damn. But anyway, they know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the second line kick in, everybody out there doing their thing, old folks, young folks, you know what I'm saying? And it's like your grandma and them.
Right.
Then it's your stunner cousin that's in his 30s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's his little brother in his 20s. Everybody got their space. Everybody is in there together and doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? You got hot girl. You got classy Creole. You know what I'm saying? You got classy Blacks, you got everybody in this motherfucker, right? And then dressed up, everybody looking good, it's feeling good. You don't feel like shit about to get shot up.
Right.
Ain't no, you got police and security on the peripheral, but you know what I'm saying? It's all black police.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you don't feel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you being policed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
everybody know
no overseers.
Is. Yeah, no overseers. It's just us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it really feels like Kendrick's We Gonna Be Alright in that bitch.
That's
you know
dope.
What I'm saying? So when Juvie's on the stage and he about to go into Back That Ass Up, first he came in on my favorite song, The Slow Motion.
Okay, you know that's hard.
You know what I'm saying? That's how he came out. I was like, oh, yeah.
That's fine.
You know what I'm saying? Came out on Slow Motion, then did the Miami Classic of 400 Degrees.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then he like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, I want y'all to lift them dresses up, you know what I'm saying, and get ready. And then they dropped that motherfucker Back That Ass Up and shit went berserk.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So it was, it just felt good to be in that environment. Like when you go to homecoming, it's a bunch of people and it feels like that. But
right.
It's like, I never been to one party with that all
big.
That many people.
Yeah.
Everybody dressed up, looking good. And it's and everybody's still having it. You know what I'm saying? It's not stush. It's not, you know, it's everybody having it. And it's like, damn, this shit is like a whole lot of possibility in that.
Right.
One, we can keep some shit going for 100-something years. You know what I'm saying? And that shit be good and everybody enjoy it. It could be part of culture. It's like, you don't really get to see that often. Like, usually we get some good shit going and shit get fucked up some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They keep that shit is going. That shit is ingrained in the culture. And you can see that it's going to continue to grow and go. Because it's a great time.
That shit sound dope.
That shit make you feel like you feel proud. I'm black. I'm in this motherfucker, man.
That's
you know
dope.
What I'm saying?
Is the recap you doing, is it some internal shit or will it see the world? Because I want to see it.
It's going to see the world.
Okay,
it's
yeah. Keep me posted. I want to see that shit. I definitely want to see that. Because just in my mind, I could see Juvenile in front of, you know, 20,000 elegant motherfuckers going ham. Yeah, going I got this. In New Orleans? Yeah, I got to see that shit.
It's good. And it's like, it's kind of like you got every kind of whoever that's up in there. Up. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, when you go to a black school mm-hmm. and you learn all the different kinds of black people it is out there, you're like, damn, you ain't know there was this many kind of black people.
Yeah.
And then you learn where you fall in within right. the blacks. You know what right, I'm saying? Right. Amongst the blacks, motherfucker. I'm, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Blase Skip.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you in there, it's that.
You see the spectrum.
In, yeah, it's that in one room. And it's like, shit, I know where I fall at amongst these people. You know
so
what I'm saying?
Is that the is that one of the events of Mardi Gras? Like if you black
that yeah, that is
you like you from, trying to get your ticket to that.
From what
shit.
I understand, that is the black event. It's others, but that is the one.
I'm curious how early you got a cop a ticket for that shit. Cause it sounds like something well, that go fast.
I think he when I was talking to him, we probably was maybe 3 weeks out from it, and he was like, we had just sold out, but man. That probably was like the peripheral. Like, nigga, when you see the room, I don't even, the camera, you, I would probably would have had to have a drone for you to really get a feel for how big that shit is. Like imagine, you know, just putting tables all the way across a football field plus right. another 40 yards. You know what I'm saying? That's how big it is.
And is there a lot of, like, intermingling? It's all good? Like, people go from table to table, see sets and shit like that? Or do people kind of stay in their section?
Nah, everybody do whatever. But I can keep my eye on one place because I was all over the place.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's still kind of separated with these little gates and barriers so it won't be out of control. So it's certain places you got to walk the way you got to walk to get to other sections. And then there's some sections where you got to have a ticket to get in that section.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So some sections was, like, a different pay scale.
Okay, the fly shit. Yeah, man, open just, bar or something
probably,
like that.
I don't know the specifics, but it was certain sections I know they was checking tickets to get into these sections.
Yeah.
And then the, you know, like what the president, what the king had his shit, like you got to have a wristband and be on the list to get into the certain places where they got their food. But I think everybody sponsored their own section. So, you know, that king might have this kind of food and this kind of setup. You know what I'm saying? This one got they shit all adorned with, you know what I'm saying, different kind of shit and food and drink. So you go where you are invited to go.
That's dope.
You know what I'm saying? And then the dance floor is for everybody.
That shit sound cool.
Yeah, that shit was dope.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to New Orleans.
Shout out to New Orleans.
Like, that shit, it's a real, it's like if they put a certain era of blackness in a capsule and kind of was able to keep it there for a minute for the good and the bad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. All
right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Some of like when you're in New Orleans, some of that shit you still see slavery today.
Yeah,
like,
you told me. What I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am. Not even that. It just feel the way they police shit and the way they
heavy.
You know what I'm saying? The way they kind of move, it's kind of like you could still feel a certain era of Jim Crow that you don't really feel every day. You know what I'm saying? When you start hearing people talk about, you know what I'm saying, the difference and the breakdown between Creole and black, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it's like, yeah, damn, yo.
Mm-hmm.
It's cringeworthy. But on the flip side, culturally, you know what I'm saying, the love and all that shit that go on down there, and the hospitality, and you know, it's like it's an era that is missing in other places that kind of faded away as we moved into mainstream society.
Yeah, I could see that. Everybody says New Orleans is like a country within this country. It's like its own country. I've been there twice. I gotta really get into New Orleans. It was cool. I had cool times each time, but I don't think I've done the New Orleans thing all the way to the hilt. You know what I mean? I want to go once. I want to go again because I can feel it. When I go there, you can feel the energy. You can feel like this is, I won't say like a playground, but this is a lot of shit to indulge in and enjoy yourself. Like just so many different things on so many different levels, from culture to food to, you know, all of history, art, all of that shit. It's a lot going on out there. So
yeah, it is. And that Mardi Gras shit is a whole nother level. I ain't even talking about what's happening on the streets and in the white neighborhoods. Like, yeah, they're just wide open. Like, we went to get some food, and it was by Tulane and all that shit. And they was just wide open. You know what I'm saying? They was selling pills on the street. And white kids was just getting it in.
Wow.
It's like, you know, everybody dressed up in costumes or little skimpy shit. It's just like a free-for-all. Like, some kind of wild ass. You know what I'm saying?
So Mardi Gras extends throughout the entire city.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never been. Like I never this. Been. I'm curious. And it's the whole month of February, basically.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's bananas.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? They have, like, the second lines and parades will go through the different neighborhoods. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how far out it goes, but within the inner city of New Orleans, you know, the parades and second lines, they go through different neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Two lanes in the inner city area or, I mean, like, yeah, close?
It's just close by. It's not too far from where Magnolia Projects was. It's like straight down the same street.
Mm.
They call that Harmony Oaks now.
Magnolia Projects has been
Yeah, they tore them down and built houses and stuff. But, you know, black people still love it. It's like, you know what I'm saying, after Katrina, they started to tear down the projects out there.
Does it look different now?
Yeah, it's fucking like regular old suburban-looking houses. And then they still got the one, like in New Orleans, what they do when they tear the projects down, they keep one of the buildings for historical reference.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's cool.
But when you looked at the building that they kept over in Magnolia, and they redid it, they're like, why y'all ain't just do the whole shit like this? Because the shit looks fresh as fuck.
Right.
Like, you could have just did the whole projects like this. Like,
nah.
They're going to redevelop.
I'm going to flip some shit.
Yeah, we're going to flip this. You know what I'm saying?
We don't want this shit to look nothing familiar.
Yeah. Like, man, y'all could have, if all this shit looked like that, it was a shit. That's a good deal.
That's hard. I'm going to go out there, man. Shout out to New Orleans. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
On your flight down to New Orleans, mm-hmm. Now what's that, about 3-hour flight?
Yeah, about 3 hours.
Did you recline your seat?
I never recline my seat, but not because of no reason, not because of nobody behind me.
Really?
I just don't, I'm not comfortable in that, because it don't recline enough for you to get comfortable. It's just a little bullshit ass 5 degrees. It ain't worth it to me. It don't give me nothing, so I don't even recline.
You don't even engage in that shit.
Nah.
Where you stand on this recline battle with people now? I think the head of Delta said made a statement where he said, I'm not sure if it was a he or she, but the head of Delta said
he
said if you're gonna recline your seat, you need to ask the person behind you. Where do you stand with that?
I mean, I don't agree that you had to ask nobody for shit. You know what I'm saying? Because if the seat recline, they recline. My beef is with the people who recline by slamming that shit back. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm 6'3", mm-hmm. and my knees is right there on the motherfucking back of the seat. And every time you slam back, that shit is fucking your knees up for real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So some people, you know what I'm saying? If you're going... Recline, ease on back, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, you know, ease back with it, you know? Or look back and check to see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You ain't got to ask, but don't just, like, you know what I'm saying? It's a certain type of person that's like a repeat offender on that type shit. And it's either a big white person or a little petite white girl.
Interesting.
That just don't really, they have no awareness of what the fuck's going on. Uh-huh. They just slam the seat back just because, you know.
No spatial awareness.
Yeah, no spatial awareness or consideration to what could be around. They just slam that shit back because, you know what I'm saying, they trying to get in their comfortability.
Right.
And then it'd be like, ah, shit. And then they don't even recognize that shit. So when the dude was beating on the lady chair,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, I ain't agree with that. But I damn sure wanted to beat on the back of somebody's chair.
Oh, I didn't see this. What happened?
So what sparked this discussion was, I guess a lady had reclined her seat. You don't see the beginning. It just come in with this guy beating on the back of her seat just repeatedly. Boop, 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 boop,
like
boop,
a next door
boop,
neighbor.
Boop, 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 boop. Just fucking with her because she reclined. Right. I'm not sure if she slammed into his knees, because that's the way I be feeling when a motherfucker slamming my knees. You just want to shake the shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just make it uncomfortable for them. But I guess I'm not sure how they started, but I sure have felt that way before.
Yeah, I felt that way.
But he looked really insane doing it.
That's a little much. I mean, I guess one or two, you get what you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You get your point across. You just, what you waiting for? How many times you going to beat? What's your point at this point?
Because you're going to beat until you feel satisfied. Because in my case, your knees still be hurt.
Yeah.
You're like, God damn. You know what I'm saying? And you got some people that do it, they do it, they slam it back, and then they keep kind of pushing to yeah. see if it could go back further. And like, motherfucker, stop. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, stop.
I ain't never been there. I look back. I right. look back like I'm pulling into a parking
right.
spot.
Right, it's like spatial awareness.
Yeah, I do the... I don't always ask. I might have used to ask as a youngster, but as a, you know, nah. you get older, you like, man, fuck this. I done paid too much for this shit. Right. I'm about to pull back and get this little, whatever this little bit of incline is or recline is.
Right.
But I typically go smooth back because I have also noticed, not even just your knees, but say you got your laptop. If you really getting into it, you got your laptop right. on the little table
right.
doing some work. That shit come down. It fuck your whole lap. It could. I don't know if it could crack your shit.
Yeah, but if you got your little ginger ale,
oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and your laptop, you doing all this shit,
destroy your whole.
You know
shit.
You ain't got but so much space, and then they come slamming back. Mm-hmm. You fucked up.
I think, man. I feel like air travel, man. It's so much. It's like where status mm-hmm. and entitlement converge.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, everybody feel like, you can't tell me, like, people feel a way based on the little precious minerals that they've earned via flying. So you mm-hmm. can't tell me that somebody that is gold don't look down on somebody that's ruby. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, they feel, the people that are diamond don't really feel like they on the same level as the gold people. They feel like they got a little bit more, you know what I'm right. saying? And that's bullshit.
But see, here go the thing. I don't give a fuck what your status is. If your ass ain't in the first class, you still back here with us.
Yeah.
Or business or whatever, you back in the back with us. No matter what your status is, no matter when you got on the plane, you know what I'm saying? You could be the first one on the plane, but you back here with us, you got the, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're in the jungle.
If you group four beyond and in the back, even if you got status, it didn't mean shit. Because obviously they got you in the... I feel that? Like they treating motherfuckers... It's not even like... It's like steerage now. I don't know. I've been paying attention to this air travel shit. They slowly and slowly segmented it and upselling it. Right. Putting motherfuckers closer and closer to the bathroom. Like,
I mean, somebody gonna be close to the bathroom.
But I mean, damn, dude, they like, it's so many. If you want a decent seat, not even first class, not business class, if you just want a comfortable seat, sometimes they're going to hit you for an extra $80.
$30 comfort?
Something crazy. Or if you want to be able to pick your seat, you're going to have to come out the pocket. This shit is starting to be a shakedown, too. I don't like it.
So that's the whole thing. That's the whole point. The CEO of Delta should really shut the fuck up because...
Uh-oh.
Because this is his shit. You know what I'm saying? This is their shit. They make this environment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was enough room between your knees, even if it was just 4 more inches, the shit wouldn't be on your knees, so when people slam back, it wouldn't hit you.
Right.
So he talking whatever, talking motherfuckers should ask out the motherfucker done paid $400-$500 for a ticket. You know what I'm saying? Nah, motherfucker ain't gonna be trying to ask. But... So it's for us in the back to make up the rules. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, guys, you make up your own fucking rules back there because, shit, CEO of Delta, he ain't never flying back there.
Nah.
Let him ride middle seat from motherfucking New York to California and see what the fuck it feel like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to have to ask a motherfucker to lean his seat back.
You ever done middle seat in New York to California?
Yeah. I've done middle shit. You know what I'm saying? Much last minute tickets I be buying. Yeah, I done middle seat from New York to California. And my process is, I was like, well, if a motherfucker could be a POW and sit in a crate for years, I could fucking sit in this middle seat. So I closed my eyes.
Did you get your mind right?
Yeah, imagine myself as a POW in the, in the motherfucking crate in the middle of Viet Cong and shit. And... then it don't feel so bad.
Oh, group 6 John McCain ass.
You know what I'm saying? Shit. You be up and that motherfucker zenned out. You can't fucking think about that shit. The only problem I got with middle seat is you can't sleep. Cause you know what I'm saying?
You're on guard.
Yeah, you might fall over to the right or the left and then you own the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta kind of keep your post. Keep your entertainment together and keep your focus. Like, that's a real test of focused, the middle seat from LA to New York or New York to LA.
Yeah, and you almost can't go to sleep just because you're going to get woken up. Like, if somebody is at the window,
they're going to have to get up.
They're going to have to climb over you, or they're going to have to, excuse me, could you?
You're going to have to wake your ass up.
Yeah, bro.
Snacks come, motherfuckers going to be reaching over you. You got to, you working when you're in the middle seat.
Yeah.
But I've been there. You know what I'm saying? And I, you know, like I said, I just try to get my mind right.
Right.
Zone that shit out. Know I got to get to where I got to go. Keep my entertainment together. Shit, I was in the middle seat going to New Orleans 3 hours.
Young Hostage Zen.
Hostage Zen and shit. I watched the whole motherfucker. I watched 3 episodes of Narcos.
The Mexico joint?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you finish it up yet?
I finished. I'm done.
Man, we need to talk about that shit.
Okay. What happened?
It was all right. It was all right. It wasn't the. It wasn't bad. It was. I fuck with Narcos. Terrible. I fuck with Narcos. But this was the first season. I can't think of a show, in recent memory where I disagreed so much with the lead character throughout the whole shit. I think
that was the point.
But I never, like, typically you invest in it. Typically, the lead character kind of you're on the side of the lead character, and typically it pays off because they're gonna do the so-called right thing. This cat was
he don't give a fuck.
He was a stray. He was doing whatever the fuck he felt like doing. And sometimes he pull the shit off. So you be like, all right, you withhold judgment. You're like, this motherfucker, all right, okay, you pulled that off. All right, fair enough. But
he JC.
Oh.
I mean, he was shrewd.
He
like,
trying
you
to
know
get
what
the
saying?
Paper, huh?
Like this is good for the business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That motherfucker fucked up. It's his fuck up. Shit, I ain't got to fold my whole business because of this motherfucker.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, this motherfucker's shrewd, man. He ain't give a fuck. He dissed everybody. Everybody got a turn at being dissed. And then, of course, this is also a dramatization of a real motherfucker that may been that in a certain way, but may not been all the way like that.
Right. They had to put some frills on. I think it also, I mean, the big thing, it felt like it was to launch El Chapo, to get that.
I don't think we're going to El Chapo next. He going to be involved, but the other look like my man, the other cat who used to fly the planes, going to be next.
Amato?
Yeah.
I fuck with Amato.
He was like, you know what I'm saying, you got to pay attention to him because he could be the one who runs this whole shit. Da da da. El Chapo is on his way. You can see he on his come up, but I think he probably gonna be the fourth season.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But what? I just felt like all these little series and shit. Like they had a good pace going, and then like his demise was too fucking swift. You know what I'm saying? It was like motherfuckers had one meeting and his shit was over.
they were like, nah, we're not fucking with it.
You're out. And then it was just over. Like, come on, man.
He ain't had no plan for that?
No, he had no goons on his side, no nothing.
Azul flipped on him.
It's like he could have just went to jail and then, you know what I'm saying, that would have been the end. But, you know, he was out and it was over.
He was giving too many people his ass to kiss. He reminded me of Ghost, how he was moving through. He ain't give a fuck about nobody. They was Azul was getting the worst of it. Azul was trying to be like, yo, I think you bugging out. He'd be like, Azul, nigga, how many opinions you got?
Exactly. Who team you on, Azul's?
Azul let you know at the end. He told you from the top. He was like, I don't trust anybody, boss. And that mean you too.
Azul.
Young
His driver. He had all kind of snakes around him.
Yeah.
She couldn't catch a break. He dissed the old girl who got her own little operation running now.
To my homegirl running a coke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her.
It's so funny. I can't remember nobody's name on this shit. I guess because of the foreign language and shit. You like, shit. I know the faces of the storyline.
I be trying to remember. I know her home, the girl with the coke, her partner's name was like Enadine or something like that. The sister, the Benjamin was the brother. I think Enadine. Yeah. I want to say her name was Maria, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. She was fighting for women's rights. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she was enterprise.
That was the way they had that set up, was kind of like in line with, you know, equality and pay equality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Equal opportunities.
Right. Yeah.
So equal opportunity in the dope game.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the champion.
She broke the glass ceiling in drug trafficking.
Yeah, because, you know what I'm saying, it was her links. It was her plugs that even got him into cocaine to begin with. You know what I mean? So she had the plugs, and he wouldn't cut in the play. But you know, that's shit. He wasn't gonna cut nobody in the play.
He wasn't fucking. You know what I'm saying? What's the face? I got no partners.
These this niggas, nigga, I only got employees.
These motherfuckers work for me.
The very next scene, you're out. This motherfucker, and all he did was sit there and look sad. He ain't make no noise. He ain't call nobody out. He ain't say, you motherfuckers, this how you gonna do me?
He's very composed through it all. Even when he was sweating, he even sweated just a little too composed. He's like, let me get myself together. I'm fucking up. Shit is going crazy. I might lose this election. You know what I mean? But things worked out for him. But anyway, I don't want to kill y'all with the spoilers. If y'all haven't seen Narcos Mexico season whatever, I guess this is 3-2.
Season 2 for Mexico.
Yeah, season 2 for Mexico. Check it out. It's worth your while. Shit, man. You didn't see Justin Bieber singing a Never Would've Made It.
I can imagine okay. It.
Yeah, he was going through. He's singing that Marvin Sapp at the, I think it was at the Sunday service. And it was interesting, man. See, you know, I always give niggas when they sing, when they go into that, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Because okay. That's one of those.
Is Jesus work?
Yeah. That's the Lord is working on me. I'm in transformation. I'm trying to do the best.
But he never would have made it in the church choir.
No. No, not even on the second string. He'd have been in the back on tambourine. They wouldn't have gave Justin no real vocal. Not on that record. that shit got to strike a chord. That shit was off key.
Mm.
But anyway, shout out to the Biebs. Oh man,
you gonna shout them out afterwards.
You know, that's how you pave it over. Pave that bumpy road. Pete Buttigieg out there biting Obama shit, stealing his shit. Did you see this shit? He stole his mannerisms and everything. Obama, niggas.
Hey, man, you got to, you know what I'm saying? If you gonna come for the king, you got to, you know, get it right.
That is hilarious. I'm curious how often that happens just in that sphere.
Melania stole Michelle Obama's whole speech.
I saw that. And I'm curious. That's my thing. I'm curious if it's just that Obama sauce that they want, like, you know what I mean? Because Michelle and Barack are quite a tandem.
Right.
They got bars together. That's mm-hmm. the little Hove and Beyonce of politics. So maybe people feel that way. But I'm wondering, is anybody on the campaign trail spitting some old Jimmy Carter bars or some, you know what I mean, Bill Clinton speaking points?
I think everybody takes from the best. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Whatever works. You know what I'm saying? That worked. That got the people going. That was provocative. That turned the tides this way. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure FDR got bars that's out in circulation. Yep. JFK probably got bars in circulation.
Shit, Make America Great Again was Ronald Reagan.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? You take what works.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And run.
Remix that
and
shit.
Shit, a time before the internet. Shit, ain't nobody gonna remember that shit. Everybody that remember that shit is halfway dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Or gone.
But now in this era of side-to-side video, you can't get it off.
Receipts is a motherfucker.
The receipts era, you can't get it off like it used to. yeah, man. Shout out to Pete Buttigieg. I think it might be over for Pete. It seemed like South Bend. And I always felt like I never really thought it was gonna happen. First of all, he going by Mayor Pete. So his priorities is fucked up. You can't be the president and still
and
branch.
Be the mayor.
Yeah, we gotta pick one. And it seems like South Bend ain't really behind him, man. Shout out to South Bend. I've been out there, man.
South Bend, what's that?
Indiana. Yeah. I was out there for a summer. It's cool. You know,
A summer.
I was out there. I was at a program, Notre Dame.
What's that?
Notre Dame was a college in South Bend, Indiana.
It was a program.
It was a program called Candex McNair.
Uh-huh.
And I think Candex might stand for something that I don't remember anymore, but I want to say it was, it was based on Ron McNair,
mm-hmm.
who is, I don't know if he was the first, but he was a black astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the program was encouraging science and social sciences. You know, I used to be down with the social sciences, the psychology and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought me and a couple other people from Clark, Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what CANJAC stands for. I'm tripping. Clark Atlanta, Notre Dame, and Xavier. The three schools. Yeah. Now I don't remember it. CANJAC McNair. Shout out to Mario Borelli. Shout out to Dr. Plummer. But it was cool, man. It was just like 2 months out there in fucking Indiana. You know, pre-test, post-testing. You know what I'm saying? Getting your psychology on, and then just being in the world.
Okay.
If you black and male, they assume that you play a sport. You know what I mean? Probably, you know what I mean? So they like you get a different type of privilege out there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a whole lot to do out there. It was like one mall. I forget the name of the mall. Hang out there. It was like there was this little bar called the Icon, short for Irish Connection.
Mm-hmm.
That had a little something, but that shit, I went there one night, that shit turned into a young melee, little brawl situation.
Not with y'all, or just in general?
Nah, with y'all. Yeah, because the thing is, out there, South Bend and, like, the kid, you know, the students of Notre Dame, there's, like, a bit of a rift, I guess.
As in any school, right. Any local municipality.
The locals. They look locals. Down at the locals. They call them benders. They call them benders, and there's another term that they call them, too, that I can't remember, that might be even more foul. But they call them benders, and then, you know, you play for Notre Dame. That's a nice little trajectory towards the pros. There's a couple cats that I know that made it to the pros. You know what I mean? So, like, they're treated as such.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's a little inequity out there, but that'll all devolve when some liquor get to it.
Right.
And then you know, you shit. Ain't nobody that's a big D1 football ass nigga that they ain't typically backing down. You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be some shit.
Right.
So yeah, man. There was
so shit. They assumed you was a D1.
They just figured I was black. I knew I wasn't. But right. I guess they might have thought a nigga was a kicker or something. they figured you might have been
a good little, you know what I'm saying?
Who knows what I could have been, DB. Man? Yeah, I was none of that. I was a motherfucking psychology internist. But I was with the squad. I was with the people. And shit was cool, man. Shout out to South Bend, man.
Did y'all win the fight?
Yeah, I mean, about. I didn't
participate.
Really, not like that. No. I was on the
You threw a chair from the backside.
I ain't throw nothing from nowhere. I was on the wing. I saw the shit and I stepped the fuck out of there because I'm not invested in that. I got 2 months in the game. I'm not on the squad and I'm not part of the town. You know what I mean? Nobody disrespected me directly, so I, you know, it is what it is. It felt like one of them things. It might have been just a little scuffle, but it's almost like the cops. You know when one cop come, then it's like eight cops just come because they ain't got nothing to do. Right. So everybody was like, oh, shit, I guess we fighting.
Right.
Again, it's not a lot to do out there.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess this is what it is. You know, you went to New Orleans, there was the ball. Right. This is the Icon. It was the brawl. Right. You know what I mean? This is what they do. But anyway, the people of South Bend don't seem to be behind Buttigieg. I say all that to say that.
Word.
But anyway, yeah, man, shout out to South Bend, Indiana. I seen online, I seen Snoop is going to be on the Red Table Talk.
Hey, dog, that's
the redemption table.
I mean, or, you know what I mean?
Or the stand down. Or
stand down, redemption. It's something. And he had the table with Willow. You know when they bring Willow out, it's a motherfucking problem. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
because Willow will air her disappointment with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you bring Willow out, oh, Lord.
It ain't gonna be as measured. It's going to be like, nah, fam. I ain't like that shit. That's the new generation. I ain't like when you, that was very toxic of you.
Hey, boy, very toxic.
Yeah, and then you got 20 plus years in the game of your, you know, that's your brand. So you can't just all the way sell yourself short.
No doubt.
How do you negotiate that? That's the new spot though, where cats, if they say some flagrant shit in the community,
right,
they come through there and kind of.
But again, it was
talk it out.
Inflammatory to the community at large. You know what I'm saying? But Snoop is the nigga who, you know what I'm saying?
Isn't we don't love them hoes.
We don't love them hoes. Bitches ain't shit but hoes and chicks. Lick on the nuts and suck the dick, nigga.
You met me inflammatory.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So it's like
that's all good and dandy when you just talking about the, you know, random or no name, no face black woman? Or is it, you know what I'm saying? Does it become inflammatory when you're talking about somebody who's part of the black intelligentsia and of the black royalty, at least of the court of black royalty? You know what I'm saying?
The court?
She's on the court of black royalty. She's like in the Queen's court.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? So
secretary.
But you know, she's in the sphere of,
yeah,
we must protect our black leaders.
Right.
You know, I think we should protect all of our black women. You know what I'm saying? So it's cool. Everybody cool with it. You know what I'm saying? This bitches ain't shit. Just randomly. Mm-hmm. But now it was Gail. Ooh, you had to feel it. Yes. And yeah, you feel it. Just like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, but I want you to feel that same, keep that same energy when it's, you know what I'm saying, Black China, or, you know what I'm saying, or any, you know, of our other sisters on the other end of the spectrum. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Let it just be, let the respect just be equal
right
to everyone.
Exactly, because there will be no calling Gail out her name if there was no calling everybody out their name. You know what I'm saying? So there would be none of that shit, like how they play all this shit on the radio, how they play it, if nobody stood for it. You know what I mean? If everybody got called to the motherfucking red table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's not the world we live in right now. And Snoop is sitting at the table having to back down off of his bark on Gail.
Yeah. That's what happens when your 20-year-old persona doesn't all the way job with your middle age.
With your middle age. Martha Stewart.
Yeah, because now your peers are, you know, it's not as forgiving
right
as it used to be.
And then you throwing it at 1 hour. It's like, you know, it's one of theirs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's of the of
I went
the,
too far.
Of the people. You done went too far. You done called out one of yours. And I'm sure the execs at whatever network he had a good talk to him. Like, hey, man, Oprah called me. You know, Snoop, like, we love you over here. I think we should make it right. And Snoop probably like, I mean, I ain't even mean it all like that. But okay.
Yeah, Snoop probably heard that immediately once that shit went up.
Right.
Probably got that at the house.
He was still in his scarf.
Hey, Calvin. Yeah, it was one of them calls from the other room.
Right.
Red Table Talk's kind of turning into what Oprah was.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? I like that.
The beauty of it, though, this is the real beauty of it, is that there is a place to talk it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that way you don't just get canceled and then your whole shit is dependent on fucking
right
Today's Show and, you know what I'm saying, The View and
motherfuckers that don't give a fuck. Relate.
Exactly. This shit, the beauty of Red Table Talk is the same thing that was the beauty of the Zulu Ball. You got three generations of black women.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? From Baltimore. Uh-huh. Well, two of them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of understand the spectrum. Like Jada was running with Pop and
right
and whatever other Baltimore thugs. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
Baltimore ain't no motherfucking soft city.
Nah.
It's Charm City, but there's some hard ass shit in Baltimore.
Yeah, shit is tough
so,
out there.
You know, she running the streets in Baltimore, she running the streets, you know what I'm saying, in a real way.
Right.
So she understands from both angles and has went to a place where now she can see the world from another angle.
She's enlightened.
She's, you know what I'm saying? She has the resources and has been around the world and has raised her kids in a way that's very, you know, new wave.
Right. Yet in touch. She's enlightened, but she right definitely still is an empath
mm-hmm
to the ghetto.
No doubt. Which is great. That's what I'm saying. It is great to have that as a platform to motherfucking be able to speak it from the perspective of, you know what I'm saying, where people at. You know what I'm saying? And then have Willow as the new age, you know what I'm saying? Right. She the real new age Oprah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She don't give a fuck about calling you out on your shit.
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it's all good. You got mama, you got grandmama, mama, daughter.
She probably never heard Doggy Style.
I bet she has.
She probably heard me 3-4 songs.
She live in LA.
Niggas ain't just listening to Doggy Style.
And I don't think
in full duration.
I mean, saying she listened to the full duration. She heard motherfucker.
She know who Snoop is. She know heard the classics.
Gin and Juice, and she heard, you know what I'm saying? She heard the motherfucking shit.
It's a difference between hearing the singles and like feeling the record.
But somebody like Willow, she probably went back and really listened.
I would hope so. I would think maybe I'd give her that benefit of the doubt, but part of me feels like, nah. For me, I was like, that shit, you know, that's like saying a nigga look like a reader, but you could give a motherfucker that look like they read a book and they'd be like, yo, good looking at it. I appreciate that shit to sit on the shelf. You know what I'm saying? It's just what it is.
But what they read.
Nah, because it's like this shit ain't even relevant right now. I dig it. I understand it for historical purposes, but I'm not as invested as y'all.
I would put money on her having listened to Doggy Style before I would put it on Jaden.
That's a good one. We might need to go to the comments. Who y'all got? Who heard Doggy Style? Jaden or Willow or none of the above? Let us know. I'm going with none of the above.
Nah,
I don't even think. Shit, man. I got a feeling they might not even heard he's the rapper, I'm the DJ.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they see the
daddy,
black.
Yeah, that's their daddy, though. You know what I'm saying? You know, your kids don't be giving a fuck about your shit. They're old shit.
Right.
Dad, that is so immature. Mm. That is very too. Mm-mm. But, you know.
Anyway.
You know what I'm saying? But we have to, you know, keep in mind that we're recording this the day before this interview drops.
Right. So we don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Shit, Willow might get on and drop some bars from Doggy Style and shit. We don't know.
If she do your favorite line for what is that? I looked at my nigga Lil Half Dead.
You know what I'm saying? Me and my homie Lil Half Dead. That's the chronic, though.
All right. Well,
Shackle from head to toe, 25 with an Israel with nowhere to gizzo. I know some niggas from the other side recognize my face.
Nah, the you know, the vulnerability bars where he's like, my nigga Lil Half Dad,
yeah,
fucking my hoe. Yeah,
but Lil Half Dad and fuckers, I was my little cousin Daz and
Lil Dad.
That's the chronic too. Bitches ain't shit. Mm-hmm. I uncaught my shit. I'm hard broke, but I'm still loke, man. Fuck a bitch.
If she opened it up like that, like a TED talk, that'd be amazing.
But it would be in context.
Yeah.
Because that's his song, Bitches Ain't Shit.
Yeah.
But even in that case, it was because he was emotional
right. And
heart broke. And that's why he was lashing out. They might go to that motherfucking record.
They should. I mean,
because it was a vulnerable moment for him. Just like being in grieving over Kobe. You know what I'm saying? You wanna represent his legacy and uphold his wife and children motherfucking dignity and respecting that space and mourning. It's probably from the same energy. You're talking about the same person. He older, but it's the same person. And that's maybe his go-to is lashing out.
Right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Brown table talks.
Brown table talks. shit, man. What else is good with you, man? What's going on? I know you celebrated a milestone.
Celebrated a big milestone, man, this weekend.
Talk about it.
20th anniversary, me and my wife.
That's Diamond, right?
Nah, that's something else.
Diamond is 50?
Diamond is real old.
Diamond is 50, I think.
And gold might be 50, I don't know.
Nah, you got something, though. You at least ruby.
Nah, this 25, that's something.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm on my status. I ain't got no status yet. I'm still zone 4, nigga.
Oh, shit. No upgrade. So, 20 years in.
Yeah.
2 decades of black love. How did you celebrate?
Well, that's interesting. You know what I'm saying? See, last week we talked about, you know what I'm saying, having more motherfucking show in your game.
Right.
And shit. But you got to realize that there's some prerequisites to your show. If you come with your show and motherfuckers ain't ready for your show, you know what I'm saying? They ain't buy no ticket.
Okay.
So now you showed up, and the mother was like, "Nigga, what is you doing?"
Right. Oh, you performing?
Oh, word.
I didn't know you was going to do a performance.
If I knew you was performing, I would have
wore something for this.
Exactly, and that's exactly what it was. So I set up the fancy dinner and all that. I fly back from New Orleans.
At the house or at
At a spot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You want to disclose?
Well, I mean, we can. I mean,
if you don't want to, don't do it.
I mean, it really doesn't matter where the spot was, but it was one if by sea, two if by land. One if by land, two if by sea. No, it's not a fish spot. It's just like a old school fancy spot with candlelit dinners and shit like that.
Is it Bed-Stuy?
No, it's in fucking Manhattan.
Okay.
In the Village. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's candlelit shit, you know, roses on the table. That's nice. You know what I'm saying? Prefix shit where, you know,
Who picked that? You picked that?
I picked it.
You been there before?
Nah, why would I go somewhere I've been before?
Because you know that shit work.
No, I went somewhere that was out of my zone. I'm putting on a show, nigga.
Oh, all right, but sometimes you want to know the stage is sturdy.
No, I knew the stage was sturdy. I got a suggestion. I read the reviews. I did my research. Okay. I ain't just out here willy nilly. Willy nilly with my shit. The space I wanted to go to, they didn't have no spots open till March. So I couldn't fuck with that
What was that?
That's a per se.
Oh, up in the Time Warner Center?
Yeah.
I heard that's kind of fly. I've been past, I don't know if I've been in there. I haven't been in there. That's like a steak spot, right?
It's whatever, but it's a dining experience.
I wanted
to do that because somebody told me about that. But that wasn't available till later. We're going to do that later. But so I set this spot up, you know what I'm saying? Got the reservation, boop, whoop, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my wife like, man, I don't really got nothing to wear to that. So we ended up, you know what I'm saying, moving that reservation to the next day and then going to round the way spot just on some, let's kick it and talk, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we went out to that spot. But we really ended up talking fucking, it wasn't no argument, but it was like, damn shit, we ended up doing real talk.
Okay.
Like uncomfortable issues and shit. Like, I didn't want to go there. I'm drinking wine, chilling. You know what I'm saying? We done went to a second spot. We in the wine bar and we chilling and shit. And then, you know, my wife, she'll jump to another subject.
Mm-hmm.
Like, real quick. Like, real pivot, real motherfucking fast.
While you buzzing.
You ain't ready yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, why we talk about that? How we even get here? Like, we wasn't talking about this. We was talking about that.
I'm tipsy. Time out.
So I'm fresh off of 24 hours in New Orleans. I flew to New Orleans at 6 in the morning, landed, was shooting from 6 to 3 a.m., you know what I'm saying? By the time I did about 2 hours sleep, jumped back up, got on the plane, came back to New York. And now it's 12 o'clock the next day off of 2 hours sleep, and we about to have this discussion.
Real talk.
We had to have real talk. You know what I'm saying? Which probably was the best thing we could have did. You know what I'm saying? Because it was, I'm in mode of celebrating.
Right.
Like, hey, man, 20 years, goddamn. Nah, we breaking down hard shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Why this happened and how we end up in this position and why we, God, we ain't where we want to be and how, you know what I'm saying? All that good shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, goddamn, we outside in the public. We got to do this.
Right.
But, you know, it was on the table. It was, you know what I'm saying, brown table talk. Right. You know what I'm saying, black table talk.
Good conversations, man. Uncomfortable conversations are the key.
No doubt. And it is.
It's tough, though.
But at a certain point, you're just like, all right, okay, let me just, all right. You want to know? Okay, here it is, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, this is what we're going to do. You know what I'm saying? Then, blah, 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 well, you know what I'm saying? Then if you want to look at this and then, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I ain't doing this shit willy-nilly. You know what I'm saying? Every move I made was because of, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I was mad, but you know what I'm saying? I was composed. But I wasn't mad because we had to do it. I was mad we just had to do it when I was trying to be in Showtime.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right.
When I was coming, like, hey, nah, shit, I'm about to lay it out, do out that. Nah, bruh.
It's almost like a heckler.
We're going to do this regular shit we been doing, motherfucker, at a high level. You know what I'm saying? So we did that, and you know, I kind of went home disappointed, not because anything she did, disappointed because I wasn't able to do my showtime
right
how I wanted to do my showtime.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, coming into the next day, we went and really did the showtime. It was good.
You so know you got saying? To get your showtime
yeah, you
off,
got
though.
Got it off the next day. And, you know what I'm saying? And just with the perspective that we were able to come to in the hard discussion, it opened everything up and made things easier, made life easier, made general understandings that was stuck.
Right.
Maybe for years in a place of, I don't really understand what you're doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was stuck there. And then being able to open that up brings you to a point where it's like, you know, it frees everybody up to be able to express themselves. You know what I'm saying? Since you could get to the root of what it is. It's like, no matter how far you go, there are things in your situation that may be suppressed because a motherfucker is still holding on to a feeling from years ago. You know what I'm saying? And you thinking that you done got past it, that, but they holding on to a space of it shouldn't have been this way.
Right.
Because the way I see it, you could have did this and you could have did that. You know what I'm saying? See, I'm an entrepreneur. I did all kind of, you know what I'm saying, shit that is not, you know, stable. You know what I'm saying? Because you're taking risk and you know what I'm saying, taking chances. And sometimes you bust your fucking head and lose a bunch of shit. And, you know what I'm saying, my wife was looking like, you ain't had to do that. You know what I'm saying? And be holding on to that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? They not saying shit about it, but they, you know what I'm saying? They holding on to that shit. And there's a lot of things that can't open up because that's blocking the way.
Yeah.
And until you really break that shit down to like, well, this is why I did that. This is the decision-making process that went in that. And if I didn't do that, then it was going to be this. You know what I'm saying? We ain't want that. So, you know what I'm saying? But nobody don't know that shit because you do shit and you hold on to it because it's your shit. You take responsibility for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, you don't want to open that because that shit right there is a five-figure situation that's going to motherfucking make you sick. But I got to open it. And then I got to handle it and I got to take care of it. I got to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? So those are the types of things that you protect, that you think you're protecting everybody else from because you holding on to them, you carrying the bag. But again, sometimes they need to know because if not, they going to resent you for some shit that you really trying to do for everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And once that's out in the open, once that's on the table, then it frees up a whole lot of emotional energy that was stuck. And that's it. That's what we did. That's how we celebrated motherfucker 20 years.
But that's, you know, you know, that's dope though. That's,
is it?
Nah, I mean, it might not look like a cake, but it's actually, from what I'm hearing, the shit sounds productive as fuck.
Right.
And it's interesting and inspiring and even just, you know, just a testament to the fact that you could have 20 years into the game and still have room to grow and still have room to communicate, you know, expectations and things of that nature and still learn each other further even after 20 years. You know, you would figure 20 years, you know each other front to back, but that just shows, you know, that's how humans are. You know what right. I mean? Like that's a real relationship. A relationship is growing as it's going, you know? Hopefully, no you know, doubt. Hopefully, if not, you know, it's dying. It's either one or the other.
I mean, it's just like anything in life, you know what I'm saying? If you in a family and you could hear the same problem within a family over and over and over every holiday for the next to whenever, you know what I'm saying? They talking about shit from before you was born.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Remember that shit. You know what I'm saying? Just because that shit be stuck. And in a relationship, 20 years, you could do 20 years and not know shit. You know what I'm saying? Because if you do surface shit and you never break through any barriers, you know what I'm saying? Or if one person is just ruling the roost and they don't give a fuck about what the other person really think, then you won't get nowhere. You know what I mean? It's like you could come in and just be like, it's my way. You know what I'm saying? This is my way. Or then the other person be sitting over there, this is my way too. Right. And y'all moving in separate bedrooms and y'all could live together forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You orbit each other.
My way to death.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But if you really gonna get somewhere, at certain points, there are things that you're gonna have to expose, be vulnerable. You're gonna have to change. You know, I was telling my homeboy the other day, man, it's like going through life is a series of lessons and shit. And if you're paying attention, you know what I'm saying? It will set you up for the next level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, when you meet your lady, y'all all good. Y'all doing your little, ooh, you so beautiful. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I love you. All that little good shit, right? And you feel like you know him. You know what I'm saying? Y'all in a good place. Then a woman gets pregnant and they start changing. You know what I'm saying? Hormonally at the base level, but their personality, the way they react to things, the way, you know what I'm saying, the shit they like, the shit they taste, you know what I'm saying, how they smell shit, all that's changing. And it's frustrating that for you as the partner, because now the person you knew is not there no more. You like, oh shit, what the fuck, you know what I'm saying? And then they attitude is quicker, you know what I mean, because they doing a whole bunch of shit within their body that you ain't doing. So you just sit there witness. Your job, your only fucking job, from my understanding, is to learn from this process. Because in that process, what happens? You know what I'm saying? You gotta be a little more patient. You gotta be a little more understanding.
Right.
You gotta give a lot more of yourself. You gotta be a lot more selfless. And then when the baby comes, you start to understand, damn, now this baby crying at 4 a.m. Somebody got to sit up with them, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then you understand this is why you had to be patient. You know what I'm saying? Because even if you ain't the one sitting with them, you're going to get awakened by the whole shit. You're going to be a part of the process. And you realize, damn, this is why I had to become patient. This is why I had to learn how to be more selfless. Because, damn, now I got to get my whole shit over to this little person. And then you start raising kids, and then you going through life in these 20 years and you got little beefs here and you got, you know, good times here, and you start to learn all these lessons that when your kids become older, you start to understand why in those relationships in that time you had to understand it wasn't all about you. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just you and how you feel and the way you want it. You know what I mean? Because now when your kids get grown, you're not going to be able to control them. You're not going to be able to tell them what to do. And they might be somebody that's different than what you have them to be. But your years of experience have taught you that sometimes you got to let yourself go to let them grow. And I be looking at life at, you know what I'm saying, like, damn, all these little lessons, oh, it's setting me up. You know what I'm saying? It's setting me up to be, you know what I'm saying, how I need to be. So when you go through it, you like, shit, not when you're going through it. When you're going through it, you be like, man, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
But after you can sit back and really look at what happened and how, you know what I'm saying, what you talked about and the things you learned, you realize that you needed that shit.
Gives you some perspective.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad I had went through the other shit before so I could be prepared to hear this shit. A lot of people ain't prepared to hear their shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to throw somebody else's shit.
Right.
Out on the wall, but when you have to see your shit,
to hear about yourself
lined up,
ooh,
you know what I'm saying, you gotta check yourself, you know what I'm saying, or you gonna buck it and you gonna never learn. If you don't never learn, then you end up repeating that shit over and over. And I see people who are repeating shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I see people, even, you know what I'm saying, grown ass motherfuckers repeating shit because they ran from it the first time.
That shit. This is a deeper conversation, but I would like to get into it in another pod, but
talk about it.
As you get older, like, it does feel as though, I don't want to say you got to kill it, but you absolutely definitely need to tame your ego and get your pride in check. You know what I'm saying? And like, open yourself up. Like you said, like when you hear more about yourself and you know what I mean? Like, try to move less defensively, right. You know? And that takes work. That takes, right. You know, that's a process.
And the thing about it is everybody don't want to do it because it's not easy and it's painful and you feel like a sucker and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to be no motherfucking sucker.
Nah.
But that'd be your ego. You know what I'm saying? Right. So as a man, at some point, you're going to have to look beyond yourself. And I think, like you said, with kids and being in a relationship and, you know what I'm saying? Just even sometimes doing the work, I think people more suited to do it in their work than they are in their personal life.
Right.
They can let themselves go when they go to their job and have to do the work of the business.
Mm-hmm.
But when it come home, you have your way. Like, shit, I done paid all the bills around this motherfucker. It's my way.
Right,
shit, what the fuck you motherfucker?
Put importance in the wrong shit.
Then the motherfucker on the other side be like, motherfucker, but you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you da-da-da, you ain't this, you ain't that, motherfucker. What about that?
Yeah.
You be like, hold up, no. Hold up,
no. That's not how I see myself.
Hold up, anime, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? shit, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? That shit, you don't want to hear that shit.
Nah.
You breaking your shit down, then you get mad. But what you gonna do?
It's for the best.
Get better, man. That's it. You just gotta get better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta get better for yourself, not because of what nobody else say. You get better for yourself, so it's less of that shit could be said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's 20 years. That's the lessons you learn in that shit. And that shit ain't no motherfucking happy shit. The motherfuckers be talking about getting married and, oh, yeah, happily ever after. That shit is just happily ever start. You know what I'm saying? That's just the day one, nigga. The next day, you got work to do.
Shit is a gig.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, nigga, you got work to do. And then you start having kids and there's more work to do. And it's on top of the work that you got to do. Really, a lot of times you can ignore the work you got to do on yourself because you could hide it behind raising the kids. But that shit still be there waiting on you.
That shit is right there.
You know what I'm saying?
In your inbox.
In your inbox, nigga. When them kids get out the house, you be sitting right there with that shit like, God damn.
Looming.
That's why people just break up. They're like, fuck this shit. You know what I'm saying? They leave all that too much shit in the inbox. Like, man, fuck that. You ain't got time to fix this shit. Fuck it.
Shit. 20 years. That's real shit, man. Yeah. That's real talk. Yeah. That's real perspective. That's a real testimonial. Congratulations to both of y'all. You're doing it. Y'all in it, you know. Where you going to be this week? Tell the people.
I'm going to be here, man. I'm going to be in New York City. Be on the gram at Mr. Muhammad. Be on Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. Holla at your boy. Know what I'm saying?
There it is. Shit, I'll be at I'll be at New York Comedy Club tonight. I'll be at Eastville Comedy Club on Friday. And I'll also be at Eastville Comedy Club on Thursday. So fuck with me. Until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in a conversation.
Jeez.
We out.
To be in the conversation.